A man sits across from his wife at dinner, nodding along as she shares her day. He's attentive, supportive, asking all the right questions. Later that night, alone in his car, he grips the steering wheel and screams. This isn't an isolated breakdown. It's a nightly ritual. He's furious, resentful, sexually frustrated. Yet, he can't pinpoint why. After all, he's done everything right. He's been the perfect partner, the ideal father, the guy everyone can count on. So why does he feel so empty? This is the nice guy paradox. Men who've built their entire identity around being good find themselves trapped in lives of quiet desperation. They've followed the unspoken rules. Be considerate, avoid conflict, put others first. Yet the promised rewards never materialize. Their relationships lack passion, their careers feel stagnant, and beneath the pleasant exterior churns a reservoir of unexpressed anger and unmet needs. Nice guys operate from a fundamentally transactional worldview, though they'd never admit it. Every act of kindness carries an invisible price tag, every sacrifice an unspoken expectation. If I help with the dishes, she'll want sex. If I work overtime without complaining, my boss will notice. These covert contracts poison relationships because they set everyone up to fail. The nice guy feels cheated when his unstated expectations aren't met. His partner feels confused by his sudden coldness. She didn't know she was supposed to reciprocate because he never actually asked for what he wanted. Consider Marcus, who spent years being his girlfriend's emotional support system, never burdening her with his own struggles. When his father died, and she couldn't drop everything to comfort him, he felt betrayed. She had no idea he'd been keeping score. This reveals an uncomfortable truth. Much of what passes for selflessness is actually manipulation in disguise. Real generosity expects nothing in return. Nice guy generosity is an investment strategy that rarely pays dividends because the other party never agreed to the terms. Nice guys aren't born. They're made through childhood experiences that teach a devastating lesson. Being yourself isn't safe. The origins vary. A critical parent whose love felt conditional. An alcoholic father whose unpredictable rages made peacekeeping survival. A depressed mother whose needs always came first. An emotionally distant family where vulnerability met silence. Children interpret everything as being about them. When parents divorce or love feels unreliable, they conclude, "Something is wrong with me." This toxic shame becomes their identity's foundation. To cope, they develop a strategy. If I can just be good enough, I'll finally be safe. They learn to read the room, anticipate needs, and become whatever earns approval. These childhood adaptations that once protected now imprison the adult. Recent decades intensified this dynamic. Fathers disappeared into offices, eliminating masculine role modeling. Schools rewarded compliance over assertiveness. Cultural upheavals left men rejecting traditional masculinity without clear alternatives, creating what poet Robert Bly called soft males, gentle, sensitive men lacking vitality and direction. Nice guys appear reliable and considerate, but beneath this facade, they're hemorrhaging vitality in profound ways. Court, they lose authenticity. After decades of monitoring others, reactions, and adjusting accordingly, they forget who they actually are. Their opinions become whatever others want to hear. The real person, with genuine desires, strong opinions, and imperfect qualities, gets buried so deep they can't access it even when alone. They lose genuine intimacy. Intimacy requires vulnerability, revealing your true self, flaws and all. Nice guys create relationships based on their curated persona, not their authentic self. This creates a peculiar loneliness, surrounded by people yet profoundly unknown. They lose personal power. By making happiness dependent on others' approval, nice guys surrender control of their emotional state. They become reactive rather than proactive, shaped by circumstances, rather than shaping their lives. This powerlessness breeds resentment that seeps out in passive-aggressive behaviors. Forgotten commitments, withdrawn affection, subtle sabotage. They lose sexual satisfaction. Sex becomes another performance focused on being good lovers rather than expressing desire. Many develop erectile problems from being disconnected from their bodies. Some channel sexual energy into secret outlets, pornography, affairs, compulsive masturbation, creating a split between their respectable public persona and hidden private behaviors. They lose their dreams. Nice guys often remain in unfulfilling careers, afraid that pursuing their passions would be selfish. They settle for less in every area of life, constrained by the belief that they don't deserve more. Recovery from nice guy syndrome isn't about becoming a jerk, it's about becoming whole. Glover calls this an integrated male who embraces all aspects of himself and lives authentically. This transformation begins with a radical shift from seeking approval to approving of yourself. When Derek stopped trying to please his wife and started pursuing his own interests, joining a men's group, taking up martial arts, setting boundaries, his wife became more attracted to him. Paradoxically, his willingness to risk her disapproval made him more desirable. Integration requires expressing needs directly. I'd like us to have sex tonight, instead of doing extra housework and feeling resentful. This directness may create conflict, but prevents toxic buildup of unexpressed resentment. The mantra, I can handle it, recognizing that while outcomes aren't guaranteed, you have resources to respond. Integration involves connecting authentically with other men through groups that provide space for honest feedback. It requires reclaiming healthy masculinity, not outdated stereotypes, but positive qualities like strength, courage, and assertiveness incorporated into a complete personality. The integrated male accepts both strengths and weaknesses without shame, creating self-worth independent of external validation. He maintains healthy boundaries, saying no without guilt, and accepting refusals without taking them personally, which creates safety for genuine intimacy. He takes responsibility for his own happiness, emotional regulation, career satisfaction, physical health. Rather than following others' expectations, he charts his own path and approaches relationships as opportunities for growth instead of sources of validation. His partnerships are based on mutual respect and shared values, not dependency or caretaking. Most importantly, he lives with integrity, aligning actions with values, words with truth. This creates a wholeness that compartmentalized nice guy never experiences. This journey requires confronting painful truths and often facing the very rejection nice guys have spent their lives avoiding. Yet those who undertake it report something remarkable. The authentic life, with all its challenges and occasional messiness, is infinitely more satisfying than the carefully controlled but hollow existence of the nice guy. The world doesn't want your niceness. It wants your authenticity. Your partner wants an equal who shows up fully, desires and boundaries intact. Your friends want real connection, which requires genuine disagreement. Your children need a parent who models authentic humanity, not perfection. The nice guy syndrome is a prison built from childhood wounds but maintained by adult choices. Every swallowed truth, every covert contract, every hidden need reinforces the bars. You hold the key. The cage opens when being real matters more than being liked, when your own approval outweighs anyone else's, when you'd rather risk rejection as yourself than guarantee acceptance as a performance. Real integrity, real strength, real love, these require showing up as you actually are, not as you think you should be. That's not being a nice guy. That's being a whole human being. And that's infinitely more valuable.